This is Bevo Bevin with Oil and Gas 360. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Governor Matt Mead of Wyoming. Governor, we appreciate you joining us today.
Bevo, thanks for having me on. We're always excited to talk about energy. As you know, we export more energy than other states, so I'm putting that little plug in, but we, energy is a hot topic always here in Wyoming.
Well, that's great, and it's a hot topic with us right here at Oil and Gas 360. So let me ask you some specifics. As you already mentioned, you know, obviously Wyoming's one of the nation's leading energy-producing states. We've got the vast coal deposit, deposits, oil and gas reserves, uranium, and you're generating power from big wind farms. So you've got a good grasp on everything that's happening pretty much in the industry. We're going to focus for a minute on the oil and gas side of things. And as you know, the oil and gas industry is in the middle of a significant downturn. Prices are down about 50% from $900 barrel oil a year ago. oil companies are pretty much putting the brakes on drilling operations and cutting capital budgets. Governor Mead, how is the state government there reacting to the anticipated reduction in revenues and jobs from the oil and gas industry?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one. If you go back a year ago, I wasn't talking to anybody then who said, hey, a barrel of oil is going to be cut in half in terms of price. And so one is we're trying to get a handle, and we talk to as many people as possible on how long is this going to last. It's, as you know, it's always a supply and demand question. I believe at least, it's a little bit of a manipulated supply and demand issue when you have OPEC, in particular Saudi Arabia, making some of the decisions that they're making, which we think in part are political decisions, and that could change overnight. We just don't know that. So first, in our reaction, we're trying to get how long is this going to last? And of course, that's always speculation, but there's bright people in the industry who provide us with their best estimate of how long this is going to last. We have, over the last 4 years, built up our rainy day fund a little more than doubled. We've built up our permanent fund during good times to a little over 50%. And so, this isn't our first time in the oil and gas cycle going up and down. And so we're well prepared as a state in terms of building up our savings. Having said that, it depends on volume, but roughly for every $5 a barrel oil drops, it's about a $35 million loss to our state. And for a state that, is the smallest populated with a biennial budget of about $3.4 billion, you take $50 out of oil and recognize $5, every $5 is $35 million, it is a significant hit. Having said that, though, that doesn't even take into account all the collateral jobs and benefits that oil and gas provides to the state. It fills our hotels, it keeps our restaurants full, our retail stores busy. And so what we are seeing right now is we're still seeing an actual increase in the volume of oil produced. In other words, we don't feel like we have yet felt the full brunt of the lower oil prices because, as you know, there's a delay to these things. But we certainly are seeing in terms of as we prepare for our budget session next year, and look at knowing we're not going to be in as good a shape as we certainly were hoping to be at this time last year.
Okay. Governor, what has Wyoming done in recent years to strengthen the oil and gas industry and attract investment from it?
One of the things that we continually hear from oil and gas companies is that, the burden of over-regulation, the burden of uncertainty of regulations. And one of the things I asked every agency in the state to do about a year and a half ago is to reduce their rules by about 30%. I think that provides just greater predictability and greater ease of use of the rules without changing in large part the substance of the rules, not just for oil and gas, but for all industries. In particular with regard to oil and gas, and we have the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission that has been, in my mind, extremely proactive and leading not just the other states, but frankly leading the country in areas that have put us in a good place. the previous administration, before I came into office, was in a place where they were the first ones to start dealing with hydraulic fracturing disclosures. And now, as you see, the federal government sort of late to the game saying, hey, we need to address this, puts us in a good position to say, hey, you know, Wyoming's already there, so stay out of that area for Wyoming because we're way ahead of you. We've also, I think, done a very good job in areas that help oil and gas in the long term. We had a number of abandoned and orphaned wells in the state, and we were not doing a good job addressing those, and we've had a very aggressive schedule the last year and a half trying to get those plugged. And, of course, that is, you know, that's, it's interesting because that's on the industry dime because, you know, they pay for that to be done. But they encourage it as well because they recognize just in terms of their image, they want to be, you know, do it the right way, and they do it the right way. And so by the rules and regulations, I would say that we've addressed everything from baseline water testing to hydraulic fracturing disclosing. We're now looking at setbacks. I think we've set the table in Wyoming for the industry. Has said, you know, we want to do it right. We want to do it the best way possible. One of the challenges that we have, and we've had my first 4 years in office, and I think we'll continue the next four, that is continues to be tough, is we face a lot of federal regulations that we just disagree with. And so we've been very active in trying to work through that in a positive way with the federal government. And when that fails, you know, we find ourselves in the courtroom.
Well, that brings up my next question. Funny you said that. In March, I know Wyoming brought a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Interior over the new fracking regulations. What are the optimal outcomes that you hope to achieve from that?
Well, the optimal outcome really would be for it to put us in a place where it says, listen, Wyoming is years ahead of us on this. And so we're going to have a waiver that will include the entire state. It's not sufficient to have it sort of piecemeal because, you know, oil doesn't know what ground it's under. And you can have a private piece of ground, a federal piece of ground, and a state piece of ground. And, you know, one area there that's being drilled. And for consistency, you don't want to have, you know, sort of a dual permitting process that the oil and gas people have to go through, you know, the federal side and the state side. And so what I would like to see is for the federal government, wherever they end up nationally, to say to Wyoming, hey, your rules are at least as good as, if not better than ours, and so we're giving the entire state a waiver with regard to the Oil and Gas Commission and your Department of Environmental Quality because your rules are already in place. And that will provide one set of rules, state rules, which are not only provide simplicity and predictability, but they also, you know, working with the state just by the mere difference in size between the federal government and the state government, you know, when we screw it up at the state level, we can fix it in short order. And we are much more nimble than the large federal government in addressing situations where we've not done it correctly. And so the ultimate outcome would be that, just for the federal government to say, hey, if we're going to have this rule, we recognize Wyoming in particular is way ahead of us on this, and we're going to give a waiver to the entire state based upon the rules, state rules you already have in place.
Well, appreciate that, Governor. just turning over to just a second about thinking about coal, you know, Wyoming's the nation's largest coal-producing state. What do you think is the bigger threat to Wyoming, the new BLM regulations on fracking or the EPA regulations on greenhouse gas emissions from power plants?
Oh boy, that's I would say the EPA greenhouse gas emissions, partly because I think on the oil and gas side, I think we're going to be able to work through that because we're just in such a good place on the greenhouse gas. You know, this is along with greenhouse gas. Add to that, you know, mercury rules. Add to that, regional haze rules. It is just one on top of another. And, you know, we have worked proactively in the state. We're trying to put together an integrated test center that will look at the slipstream off a coal-fired plant to see whether it can be used for, you know, beneficial use, for example, to make graphene, to obviously, tertiary oil recovery is something that has been done and we will be doing. But I look at coal, and I'm very concerned about the future of coal, not just for Wyoming, but frankly for the entire country. When coal produces 40% of electricity, and you think about suppressing coal or making it prohibitively expensive, that not isn't just a loss in terms of what coal means to Wyoming, but it frankly puts a country at a competitive disadvantage not to have the low-cost electricity that is produced by coal. That helps in manufacturing. It helps in every way because the energy prices touch everything we do. And so I think I'm very concerned about coal, more concerned about coal and the future of coal than I am with the issues surrounding oil and gas. But collectively, what I'm most concerned about is we believe, and I think most people in this country believe, all of us want to make sure that we are being environmentally good stewards, that we do it the right way, that we continue to make improvements. But there just seems to be a general failure of recognition by too many people of where their electricity comes from, how their cars are fueled. And if you live in a world where it's, hey, you know, we just want to have wind turbines, you know, that's not a realistic world. And so we do believe you need the energy mix with all of the above. But that includes coal and includes oil and gas and certainly includes uranium as well. These are tried and true power sources, and we need to continue to use them, develop them, rather than sort of squelching them based upon what I believe is an unrealistic view of what the future will be.
Okay, Governor, kind of shifting over just for a second to pipelines, if it's built, how will the Keystone XL pipeline impact Wyoming, and how would it affect the state's oil producers?
Well, it's a little hard for me to gauge on in terms of the particular companies that are doing business in Wyoming. They would also get a direct benefit, maybe on the back end of the XL pipeline, but we supported the pipeline, even though it doesn't go through Wyoming, and even though in large part it may not be a direct benefit to our state, for the reason that a couple reasons. One is we are crisscrossed in this state, and as are most states, with pipelines, and it's odd to me that one particular pipeline, we're sort of reacting like this is the only pipeline that's going to be around in this country. Two is I just firmly believe that, our country, our number one trading partner, not only for the country but for our state, is Canada, and that it's good for business and it's good for the country to be able to have that pipeline built and all the benefits that come from it. So in terms of our support for it, it wasn't just, hey, this is going to be a direct benefit to the companies doing business in Wyoming or direct benefit to in the way that companies doing business are to the citizens of Wyoming. It's my belief that it's a benefit to the country and that it would lift all boats by having that available.
Okay. Governor, last question. Wyoming is home to some of America's most beautiful country. Obviously, you've got mountains, trout, streams, hunting and fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities just about everywhere you look. And at the same time, Wyoming is home to the nation's top-tier oil and gas and coal production, and a lot of other mining and resource opportunities. How has Wyoming been able to balance environmental concerns with the vibrant natural resources sector?
Well, it's just a great point. I mean, our number one industry is minerals, and number two is tourism, and number three is ag. And so when that's what's on your plate, you recognize how critical that balance is. We're not going to sacrifice one for the other. And I think that the way we have done it is we work very closely with industry, and this notion that somehow that industry just wants to do it wrong just isn't the reality that we see in Wyoming, because the same people that are doing business in Wyoming, these companies, it's the men and women who work for them that are the hunters and the fishermen, the recreationists that enjoy having the cleanest air in the country to raise their kids in. And so it is just, as you said, it is a balance, recognizing that we have long put aside the question, do you want energy development or do you want a clean environment, because it's a false question. The question is, we want, obviously, and we need both, let's find solutions that provide us both the robust energy development and a clean environment, because that is Wyoming. It has been Wyoming, and it's what we need Wyoming's future to be. And we need all hands on deck to get us that future that we want.
Okay, Governor, that pretty much wraps it up. We really appreciate your spending a few minutes to kind of catch us up on the energy side going on in Wyoming. We hope to look forward to talking to you again in the future. We'll catch up on things as it moves forward.
Hey, people, thanks for having us on. My best to you, and thanks for your interest in what's going on in Wyoming.
Well, we appreciate it. We've been talking to Governor Matt Meade from the state of Wyoming, and this is Oil and Gas 360. Thanks, Governor.